morning, I want to try to preach a little bit out of Luke chapter 10. I really don't have a New Year's message. Brother Shank got in on the most of his and done a fine job talking about the time we're in and what we need to do. And I think that's a great exhortation to the body of believers. To realize, Brother Larry Neal called me this morning, told me Happy New Year. And he said, maybe this will be the year the Lord comes. And Titus, Paul wrote to Titus and said, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have that hope. And I'm thankful it's true. He said, I will come again, receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus did say, I will come again. He didn't say when, but he did say he would.
Right.
Amen. So I'm not a date setter, but I am a believer in what he said. Now it looks like to me in this scripture here that the Lord is speaking to several groups of people. And it's amazing of how he spoke and talked. You know what I mean? If you read Luke 10, there's so many different things in here. And we'll just start reading in verse number 25. The Bible said, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, thou shalt live. Verse 29, and he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I'll stop reading there. Jesus had just spoke to his own disciples secretly. It looks like to me that he had a certain message for them and said, you're a blessed people because you see things that no other, like they desired in the Old Testament prophets desired to see come to pass. And he said, you've seen things that most had not seen, and blessed are your ears as heard, and blessed are your eyes as seen. And he said in verse 22, at the end, he said, but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and privately said, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. And so there was some things. Thank God that Christ had revealed to his own men that had not been revealed to anybody else. And he said, you're blessed people because you see this. And it looks like to me it's kindly a setting. And this scribe or this lawyer, this Pharisee, thank God I can kind of picture in my mind, raise his hand and said this to Jesus. And he said, the good man, he said this, tempting him, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I believe this. Amen. I believe the reason he asked him is, was he wanting to try to put the Lord to the test. He didn't have no right intentions on asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now you got to think about this. This man was a man of the law. If you talk about a scribe and a Pharisee, thank God these people knew the law. And Jesus said unto him, well, what's the commandment say? And goes on here. He said, what's written in the law? And then that man said, well, you're supposed to love God. He said, with your heart, with your soul, and with strength, and with your mind. And he said, and thy neighbor as thyself. And so these Jews, thank God, were so strict to the law. No doubt they wore it in that phylactery on their robe. And they had the law written in there. And no doubt that man pointed that and said, well, we know what the law says. We know the law says the Lord to God, how to love the Lord as with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, thank God, let's do and you'll live. Amen. And then that man said, thank God, he willingly justified himself. I said, and Jesus, who is thy neighbor? Now you got to think about this. The Jews didn't recognize nobody as their neighbor unless it would be the Jews. That's the only neighbors that they recognized. They thought everybody else was a bunch of wicked people. Amen. Pagans, heathens. Amen. And that's why Jesus said, thank God. In the next scripture there, we didn't read about this man that got beat and stripped and laid by the side of the road half dead. And the Bible said, thank God, that the Levite and the priest passed by on the other side. And they said, talking about that Samaritan coming to that man and getting him up. Amen. Putting oil and wine in his wound and putting him on his beast and taking him to the inn. Hey, God, and taking care of that man. And Jesus told that man that record there, that story there. And then he led to that man, hey, God, that asked him the question. And he said, who was his neighbor? And that man, listen, that man could not say that Samaritan. He couldn't utter that. Couldn't say that Samaritan. He just said, the man that showed mercy. That's what he said. You know what? Boy, isn't it the way it is today? We got our little group. And apart from that, that's about who our neighbors are. Jesus said, he said, that man that got stripped. Now listen, that man was careless coming from Jerusalem to Jericho because he knew it was a bunch of thieves down here in Jericho and it's a terrible place to travel. And he got beat up and stripped and took from him, left half dead. And then the religious people walked by on the other side, wouldn't help the man. And then this Samaritan, which was a breed person, amen. Well, it looks like to me that he had some Jewish about him, and then he had some heathen about him, pagan about him, some my friend, other race of people. Jesus gave example to that. This man went to that man and helped him out. Thank God, got him up. And anyway, that man, but this is what I want to preach on this morning. Just a little while. This is what caught my attention. And it looks like it's like this and it could be in our lives. Hey, God, here Jesus goes through all this. And he tells this man, then he says, you go and do thou likewise. He's telling a lawyer that. You need to go out and help people. Hey, you need to go raise, thank God, the people up from where they are. And my friend been beaten and stripped by sin and hurt and got pain in their lives and been all kind of food. You know what? Listen to me. A lot of times we say, well, they brought that on themselves. They might have, but I'm telling you what, friend. Hey, God, you got to see this thing. The Lord goes further, my friend. Hey, God, he knows man's weak. He knows man's in sin. What do you think he came for? He came to save sinners. And we look at this and we try to justify the fact on who we will help, who we won't help. Listen, you're going to be judged by what you did when the need arose. And praise God, there's a lot of people been beaten and strapped and hurt. And the thief of sin has took them down. And buddy, we're accountable. Thank God to try to get them out and help them up and take care of them. Amen. That's what Jesus done for you. You was a sorry, low-down sinner like I was. We didn't have no hope or help. Amen. We just done what our nature was. We are sinners. We are lost. We just live like that. Thank God, friend. Somebody by the name of Jesus, amen, had compassion on us and came where we was at. Thank God it took care of us and brought us in. I'm telling you, he made the difference. Amen. Thank God. So he said to this man, you go do likewise. This verse here is what I want to preach on, verse 29. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? How many times I want to preach on willing to justify himself. How many times do we try to justify ourselves by what we do? That's what religion does. This man was religious. Now I'm going to tell you, some of the biggest ways people justify themselves is they'll say, well, oh, so-and-so's not doing it. So why should I do it? And we cover up ourselves by justifying what we think in our mind, what we should do, by looking at other people and seeing what they're going to do. And I want to tell you this. The people that runs with the crowd never changes nobody. The people that just decide, I'm going to go with the flow, never changes. They never help nobody. Amen. Listen, friend. You don't know how much. And I don't say it's been a lot, but there's been some criticism to me and not within this church. But there's been some critical remarks made to me about going up, my friend, to a detention center where men's locked behind bars and preaching the Word of God. Even one off officer that's retired now, I told my mama, he said, Joel don't need to go there. He's just too nice to him. Well, what am I supposed to be like? Am I supposed to be mean? Amen, buddy. I'm telling you, Jesus came in mercy. He came in compassion. He came to save sinners. Why should I, my friend, turn my head and justify my actions of who I'm dealing with? Thank God they came into a world, my friend. Thank God Jesus did. He came into a world. Thank God of sinful men, of wicked men, of lost men. And he came to get them. And there's no way I can justify myself, my friend, by trying to cover up with some excuse on who is my neighbor. I got a letter this past week. Listen, I can only tell you what people say. And Brother Joe, he mentioned your name in the letter. His name's Robert Gray. That's his name. He's a black gentleman. He was a confessing Muslim. And we went into the jails. Brother Joe, you talked to that man many a time. Before he left to go into prison, he called me one day to his cell. And he said, Brother Joel, he said, I want to tell you that I appreciate what y'all do around here. He said, you come faithful to give us the Word of God. And he said, I just want to tell you that I've sought this thing out and listened to what's been said. And he said, I'm telling you what, I'm going the way of God. I'm going the way of a Christian. That's what he said. He said, you think you can get me a Bible? And I took him and I said, amen. That's right. He wrote me this week again. And he made this statement in there. He said, it's so good. Thank God to be a Christian. Amen. He said, I'm telling you, there ain't nobody loves like Christian people. There's nobody that has peace like Christian people. Amen, buddy. Like she sung this morning, I know who holds my hand. Hey, buddy, I'm telling you, it don't matter who they are and where they've been. There's a God in heaven. Thank God that can reach down where they are and get them out of sin and put them in the family of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What do I have to justify? You know what I can't stand? I'm just being honest with you. I can't stand a self-righteous hypocrite. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus didn't like them neither. Buddy, he said, you bunch of hypocrites. He said, you can discern the color of the sky, but you can't even see what color you are. You dirty in your heart. You don't have no God about you. Hey man, he, my friend, got tied on him. People say, well, them just low-life people. God help your sorry self-righteous spirit. I need God, friend. I need the gospel. Thank God. And I'm telling you one thing. A lot of people, they justify themselves. Thank God by saying, who is my neighbor? No, if people justify themselves, they justify their sin. Somebody else is doing it. Well, the whole world can do it and go to hell. justify sin. Sin. Transgression of the law. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can justify it all you want to. Well, I don't think it's too wrong to take a little drink. Other people do it. You sorry. Why don't you be honest and say you've got a rebel's heart and really you want to do it? Don't you look at somebody else and say, well, I hope so-and-so, he said he's a Christian. I guess if he can do it, I can do it. You know what? I've justified myself in new marriage before. Not that. But I've justified myself in new marriage before and say, well, oh, so-and-so, he done it. What's wrong with me doing it? Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Anytime you open the door to lust, that's not all that comes in. I'm a simple-minded person, okay? I look at it like this. In me is lust. In you's lust. But he's being kept behind the door of my heart. Once I open the door to it, then it goes crazy. Amen. It might even be deceptive at first. That's deceitfulness is a bad thing. I have to confess that sometime because my motive is not pure. It can be deceitful to get what I want. And it's ungodly to the core, and the Holy Ghost is quenched over that as fast as anything else. Once you open the door to it, amen. I appreciate you. Amen, boys. Don't open the door lust. The things that'll tear you up. Amen. Older people, I mean, there isn't it so much, Brother Strank was talking about it this morning, about these appealing things to the eyes, that once you open the door of your heart to them things, it always wants more. But the eyes of man's never satisfied. You'll always have to have more and more and more and more and more and more to please the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And you can justify it any way you want to. I didn't mean to look. And I didn't mean to think that way. I've done you, friends. A man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what you open your heart up to, that's what you become. You can't justify sin. Can't say, well, somebody else is doing it. Think God's going to be pleased with it. That's why people ought to put on clothes. God help, when they was naked in the garden, found it out, they tried to cover up. Now they've taken it off. Can I, this is New Year's Day. And I want to say this and say it in boldness and compassion. If you think you're something, you're nothing. I ain't in fashion. Now, I'm not against dressing right and nice, but I'm not in the peacock realm. I'm not going to get in it, neither. Amen. I'm not going to do it. And you know what? If anybody walks in the back door and a woman or a man's dressed in a fashion that somebody says, ooh, man, they looking awful spiffy. Listen, again, it's right to dress nice and modest. But when you fashion yourself like you come out of a magazine, amen. That's right, buddy. We ain't for it. I mean, somebody said, I don't know why the preacher didn't compliment me about that. I wasn't impressed by it. Amen. I compliment you for sitting on the front row hearing me. I appreciate it. Amen. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm not going to compliment worldliness. And what happens is this. When you get to thinking highly of yourself, like I'm the man. Yeah. That's what you think. Or I mean, I'm the You know what? My friend Jezebel painted her face. Amen. And she probably said to herself, I am it. She didn't know the dog was going to eat her. So what's your people justifying it? And again, I think y'all to look neat. I mean, I feel like I look neat this morning. I feel satisfied with worship clothes. I come to worship God. I think you ought to look neat. I think you ought to comb your hair, brush your teeth, thank God, blow your nose, take a bath every day. I don't see how people go to bed without taking a bath. Amen. Use deodorant. That's just common sense. Amen. People look at that. It's an outward testimony of grace in the heart. There's a balance in everything. That's a narrow path. Huh? You can get on the ditch on one side or ditch on another. You can try to hang God and look like Elvis Presley. Huh? Amen. Or come in here and look like the bum on the street. Amen. I ain't got enough hair to look like Elvis. I ain't got sideburns like him neither. Amen. That's right. But I'm telling you. Well, people justify what they do by looking at other people or thinking about how they look at it. It ain't about how you look at it. It's about what God says. And I won't say this. I'm not getting on anybody. I don't find that in this church. But I thought I'd go ahead and hit it. Amen. Because it might want to creep up. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Thank God these people that think they got it all solved and think they know everything. That's what this man did. He tempted the Lord and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He tempted the Lord. He tested him. Had an evil attitude about it. And I did try to justify himself. Amen. I said, who is my neighbor? You ain't justify yourself. Justify your sin. This man here tried to. He willingly tried to. Listen to me. Let's be men and women. Let's be men and women. Let's just be men and women. We all got faults. That's a plural. Some people wouldn't think it. Y'all won't hold this against me, would you? I see people out, boy, and they walking around like a peacock. I tell my wife, I said, now that would be a hard one to deal with right there. Kayla, I'm glad you're a country girl. Amen. I'm glad they got a little redneck to them. If they don't like that, don't matter whether you do or not. That's what I mean. Amen. Amen. They ain't worried about, thank God, getting their makeup all over their face when they weep. God help. I'm done bent this way. It ain't gonna change. Ain't nothing wrong with a little makeup, but I'm telling you what, when you make up, it's bad. Yeah. Amen. That's right. When you do it to put it on to be seen, then it's pretty bad. But ain't nothing wrong with it as long as it's modest and it's moderation. That's the key word, moderation. And I'm telling you what, friend, I'm not much a moderate, amen? But I do know that let all things be done in moderation. And I'm through. People justify themselves, their sin, and they justify what they say. Can I tell you, there's two words, and I know we don't supposed to say it, okay? But I'm going to say it here, and don't go repeat it.
Go ahead.
Sometimes it's time to shut up.
Yeah.
And I need to learn it. I say things I ought not say.
Don't go, y'all go out here and use them words. I know parents teach their kids, don't tell, and you ought not. But the Bible does say he that shutteth his lips is considered a wise man.
Yes, sir.
There's a time to talk and a time not to talk.
Right.
And you know what we'll say? We'll say something to our wife that we ought not say it, and we'll say, well, she deserved it. See, we justify by what we say to say what we want to say. Amen. He that biteth his lip is esteemed more wise than he that runneth his mouth. And that comes from Proverbs, not just exactly like it. In other words, this is it. Anybody, Brother Shank said it this morning, he used the word stupid. Really, if you look up the word fool, it does mean that. There's going to be a lot of things in this life. Listen to me. There's going to be a lot of people in this life that's going to cause you to want to say something. I do not know anybody more in this church, Brother Todd. Nobody. I can say nobody. There's nobody more in this church that wants to say something more than I do. And I'm talking about amongst people in the world and people I hear. But you know what? God has given me grace to learn, to study to be quiet, and not to speak every time that I disagree with somebody. That's right. But we justify by what we say, by saying they deserved it, they needed to hear it. And I'm going to tell you this, when they need to hear it, God will speak it to them. Amen. And God might use a preacher to preach it to them. God might use a teacher to teach it to them. God might use another circumstance to get the message across. But I'm telling you what, when you tell somebody anything, my friend, with an angry attitude, and God does get mad sometimes, but when we do it in an angry attitude, and it becomes clamor, and it becomes evil speaking, it becomes, my friend, grievance to the Holy Ghost, and anything we say, and we can't pray after it, I said something yesterday, this is a God's truth. And it was so, I thought, under God is so little. And it wouldn't even help the called individual and said, listen, I shouldn't have said that. And they'd have said, what? But the Holy Ghost knows the depth of the motive of what you say. Now listen to me. When you're walking with God and you're sensitive to the Spirit and you say something and it might not be nothing wrong with it and God checks your very motive and why you done it and you didn't do it in a purity of heart and you didn't do it, my friend, for the edification of the hearer and God knows it and it grieves the Holy Ghost. That's just honest truth. I was going to preach last night and I was saying to God, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it. It wasn't even nothing to do with spiritual things. It wasn't nothing. Lord God, I'm sorry. God, I need restoring. I don't want to get behind a pulpit. Lord, I grieved you somewhere in my heart. Lord, I shouldn't have said what I said. And God, it wasn't bad. It wasn't nothing to it. But now, God, I'm feeling a deceitful heart and I need some forgiveness and cleansing and help. Before I got up, you know, I felt repentance in my heart. And it wasn't nothing to me, but it was to God because of the heart I'd done it from. See, here's the thing. If I come up to you, John, and I do mean this from heart, I love you and the Lord. But if I say it in a way to impress him, then that's the wrong motive. I mean, and we justify it by saying that, well, what I said was good. Listen, let me tell you something before we leave here. Whenever something comes out of your mouth, make sure is from the heart in purity. Because you can justify anything you say to anybody you want to say it to. Amen. And what it does, it's like it creates a fire. It can create a fire. Your tongue is a member of your body that can create a great fire in a church. You can go up to somebody and say, in a way, to somebody, you can say, I don't like what you did. But here's the thing, folks. Let me just say this. I'll just say it on my knees. Anything that's ever corrected ought to be done with wisdom and ought to be done by proper authority. In a church, it should come through the pastor. But it also ought to always be done considering yourself. In meekness. Isn't that right? If I was going to talk to somebody for something that I didn't like they did, then I'm going to do it in meekness, considering that this could be me, and I want to help restore them. I don't want to condemn them. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to hurt them. I want to help them. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I love you. Because I love you. That's why I'm going to do it. That's why I'm going to do it. And this man here, he said, willing to justify himself. Who is thy neighbor? How many times have we tried to justify ourselves, our sin, and what we say, and knowing unto God, the Lord above knows it's not what we really meant. And just trying to corner somebody to get them to think, that's a spiritual person. Listen to me. God knows what we are. He knows we're weak. He knows we have frailties. And He knows we need Him. I mess up daily, buddy. I say things I shouldn't say. I said, God in heaven, help me to shut up. Amen. You know what He said of man? He said to be slow to speak and swift to hear. Slow to wrath. Slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to wrath. That's what He said. May the Lord give us wisdom to see ahead in what we're doing in this life to help us walk in the Spirit and love people and help that man out of the ditch and not try to justify ourselves in why we done what we done. God help us. Let's stand. I appreciate you hearing me this morning.